So, good morning. I'd like to share some more ideas of ways to practice today. And the just to give a sense of kind of the structure of this session. So I just want to spend a few minutes just kind of covering the basic ideas behind the practice. And then we'll go into it together. And do it. So we say a little bit of theory and then into the practice. So the first thing just to point out is that for some of us, what we generally think of as meditation practice is some kind of quality of mindfulness, of getting to know what's here. Yeah. And it can lead to this sense of practice is about being with things as they are. Being with things as they are. And that's a very beautiful way to practice, and certainly one that we would really wish to cultivate. A real kind of very radical, very big kind of acceptance of our human experience, what there is in this moment. The broader meaning of meditation, coming from this word bhavana, is actually this quality of cultivating. And so anytime we're meditating, we're actually cultivating. And cultivating means bringing in, with this mindfulness, we're bringing into being a lot of patience, a lot of acceptance. And the practice that I'm interested in us doing today is actually cultivating a sense of opening. Yeah, so it's a little bit different. It's kind of opening the space and softening contraction. And because contraction is going to be a really kind of key word here, and I imagine that it's not one that we come across so much, I just wonder what's actually contraction? What would that be in Hebrew? Like this kind of tightness, this kind of shrinkingness. Kivutz. Yeah, just so that we're all on board with the same thing. Kivutz. Am I close? Close enough, yeah. Okay. So, dukkha is kivutz, is contraction. That's how we can get to know it. Yeah. And so, the easing of the dukkha experience will be this more opening experience, yeah. This is kind of shrinking down or opening up. And so, as I say, it's a little bit of theory to get us going. So where is this contraction, this kivutz? It's in the body. You're going to feel it in the body. So it's an extension of what we've already been doing, this body awareness. So it's a sign or it's an expression, or it's even an experience of dukkha. Yeah. And the wonderful thing about the body is that, you know, we can tune into the body to some degree, yeah, anytime. So we don't need to worry about the patterns of desire or aversion which is going on in this level of the tanha, the not good enough of this moment. Just feeling into the body or into the space of awareness. Has it shrunk? Has it contracted? And what happens if we open it up? Yeah? So that's the idea of this practice in just a few words. So we're dealing with a dependent origination here. When there's tanha, when there's craving, when there's this thirst, there's also dukkha and there's a shrinking of the space. And when the craving, tanha, dukkha, when that fades away, space naturally starts to expand again. And because body and mind mirror each other in this way, yeah, they reflect each other. They arise and pass together. We can relate to this mode of craving, this attitude of tanha, by actually just softening the body, opening out the body sense, or opening out the awareness. Yeah. They co-arise together, so we have this way of skillfully meeting our experience. Okay, so I'm just going to pause. Have I managed to explain it in a way that it makes sense to you? Is there anything that doesn't make sense yet? The rest of the practice is kind of dependent on this understanding that these go together. If we don't know it ourselves so much, then it's also an opportunity today to explore. Is there always contraction when there's dukkha? Just finding out for yourself. And if there is, what happens if I open out around that? So the expression of this way of looking may even come like helpful as a way of almost just like noting or noticing our experience. It's like, contraction. Or even more kind of active noting. It's like, opening. Just setting that intention to open around this. And we'll bring it into relationship to the practice very specifically, you know, dealing with maybe a pain in the body or some other thing that's really kind of obsessing our attention. But I just want to speak a little bit more about the theory first of all. So this is actually an expression of metta. Metta has this quality of opening, has this quality of allowing, has an actual quality of welcoming. That might sound really radical, like, how could I possibly welcome a feeling of pain? But there's a range here that we can play with, and so hopefully we're going to see that this is possible. So the practice could be relaxing the body, opening the body, reducing craving, reducing tanha, reducing dukkha in that way. And as we do that, we'll probably also notice changes in the flow of energy through the body, or the quality, or kind of almost like flavor of awareness that is then revealing it. All dependent on these ways of meeting. Now this teaching goes from the very kind of gross, kind of obvious levels of dukkha, but also subtler and subtler, as we mentioned in the talk yesterday. Whenever there's an object in our attention, there is some degree of contraction around that. Right? The contraction is actually holding attention there. And we may have made the passing phenomena become more rigid. Yeah. The concept of this thing has become more rigid. It's become a thing more than a flowing process unfolding. So when there's appearance, the attention is held there by a certain degree of contraction, which means also a certain degree of dukkha and something we can play with. So just understanding that this works on a spectrum, you know, there's like a range from the very strong end, very strong aversions, very strong desires will obviously produce very strong and obvious contractions. But slowly, you know, we can move into more subtler space where attention becomes more refined. Yeah. Things are not so obvious. But we can then work with this and open to this in time. It's all part of the spectrum. So just a little bit of putting the practice into context. Now, there can easily be a feeling that this doesn't work for me. Yeah, this isn't working. I'm meeting something, it's a painful sensation, and I'm supposed to be opening around it, but I can't. Or I'm opening around it, but it's not softening. It's not becoming less dukkha-like. Now, this is where it's really important to remember that flavor of metta, as we're meeting our experience. And sometimes there can still be this subtle feeling that we're actually kind of having like, we're interested in letting the object fade a little bit, fade from our attention. It's this quality of holy disinterest, way of holding the experience. But with that, it can subtly become like a letting becomes like, shouldn't you be going? Shouldn't you be going? Like subtly pushing it away. This is kind of like subtle levels of contraction. And when we respond to things with kind of a subtle pushing away, they subtly push back into consciousness. And so really keeping that good flavor, watching out for subtle levels of aversion to experience. Because we're not actually so bothered about what it is in our experience, you know, what the object is, what the phenomena is. We're actually interested in the way that we're relating to it. So actually the pain in the body, it can stay if it wants to, yeah? But what we're practicing is opening. It's opening around it. Does that make sense? That we can get really focused on where you should be going. It's welcome to be here. We can open around it, easing in the relationship. Yeah. The tanha, the not good enough, that's in the way of relating. And that's something that we can change. So in this practice, we're actually keeping it very simple. We just notice contraction. And we open it. So let's find some ways of doing this. So if you're ready to begin this practice, we'll kind of begin it in a usual way. It's actually quite important in meditation to begin well. So we just take a few breaths to check what's going on in the body, heart, the mind. Get to know if the mind is able to rest in the body as it is now, or if there's more that we can do to make the mind feel welcome in the body feel welcome in the mind. In the beginning of our practice, it's really helpful just to set our intention. We're willing to try things. We're willing to see what happens. We're willing to be here in the experiment of being alive. So I just invite you to come into the body, bringing awareness into the body. If you can be aware of the whole body here. Sense of this body in this sitting posture, in this room. Perhaps a sense of all the sky above, the space around us. Sitting on this huge earth. while also being quite well connected to the breathing, to the sensations of bodily life. As we've done before, just checking in with that posture. Are we leaning forwards or backwards? Are we over to one side or the other? Is the head quite well balanced over the body? Just imagine the spine as a pipe of energy. We want that quite well aligned. Feeling that energy can flow through the being, flow through the body. Quite interested in meeting experience well. So getting stabilized, opening a little bit at the beginning is really helpful. It can also be helpful to just reflect on our gratitude for having the time, the space, and some kind of capacity to be able to practice. It's a real gift to be present. We did yesterday, we can also see if the breath wishes to become more comfortable, perhaps flows a little deeper. Flows deep down to the belly. Also in the back of the body. And then that breath might shrink again, and you just invite it, not forcing it, just inviting it to come deeper. As we do this, we can perhaps have a sense that we're moving in the opposite direction of dukkha here. We're softening, we're opening, we're inviting, not forcing. It's all wholesome practice. So invite you to notice in your body somewhere something that feels a bit tight. Maybe the shoulders, maybe the neck, forehead. Maybe it's somewhere in the legs. Doesn't have to be the most painful sensation, but just somewhere that feels a bit uncomfortable, a bit unpleasant. Just invite you to come a little bit closer there with an atmosphere of kindness and interest. What's it actually like? What's the temperature? Is there movement? Where are the edges? And we don't want to get rid of it. We want to meet it well. Does it feel like it's changing or consistent? Which parts feel like that? What's it like if we breathe with it? It can be just breathing and feeling it at the same time. We can even use the imagination here skillfully to imagine breathing into this area, opening it. Breathing out through this area, just releasing, easing. As we breathe in, perhaps the molecules are moving further apart, the sensations have more space. As we breathe out, it's like a breeze, radiating out, maybe spreading, maybe softening, may even be disappearing. Maybe we can even increase the quality of metta a little bit more, that we really welcome this sensation. At any time, if you feel like you're getting lost, you can come back and cultivate steadiness through the breath, awareness of breath, mindfulness of breath, through the body. But if this is an enjoyable and quite steady focus, we can stay with this sensation or move to another. Wherever attention is called. You can just check in with the body again. Is there some area of contraction or some area of pain or unpleasantness? Gently guide attention there, not to get rid of it, but to meet it well. What would it be like to give this more space? Is it like to soften the relationship? There's this quality of allowing it to be as it is being, but also an interest in supporting and opening and easing in the relationship. We can work with areas that are quite obviously have a degree of contraction to them. And hopefully it softens, opens, eat. We also meet something that's more new. Invite your attention to come to your hands or the insides of your elbows. Some part of your upper legs, thighs. Something that's relatively neutral in the body experience. Might be your ears. What happens if we welcome them into consciousness with the same atmosphere? What if we breathe with them? Giving it space. We don't notice any contraction necessarily, but we can notice we can open more around. And we can also become more intimate, closer. Sometimes when we open in this way, the sensations become really, really subtle. Perhaps even we can't perceive them, and tension wanders away. So we can just come back again to the breath. Breath or body, whatever is a good stabilization of practice for us. Of course, we can also open around the breath. Open around our ideas of what the breath is. Where the breath flows. Perhaps it'll feel helpful for the breath to flow out through the face or the head at times. Just very gently. In a way, combining these practices. Mindfulness of breathing and opening. Of seen or even unseen contraction. With breathing, perhaps the breath can guide the awareness into the whole body. Be a sense of the whole body breathing. Breath flowing from the toes to the top of the head, fingertips, the back of the body. As we're here practicing, we can have an awareness of the whole body here in space. Also an awareness of the awareness of the whole body here in space. Each time giving a little more space around the body. Either continue this sense of openness, or we could develop it from here. Open to the quality of sounds arising and passing in consciousness now. Also this feeling of metta, welcoming. opening. We find ourselves grasping onto any particular sound, opening the fist, opening the hand, the mind, letting it go. Recognizing what it's like to have our consciousness quite open to the arising and passing of near and distant sounds. What's the sense, what's the flavor of consciousness in this way? Quite open. Quality of metta. Quality of allowing. Reasonably calm. Something's loosened. Seeing, can that quality towards sounds also be true towards sensations in the body? Just appearing and disappearing. So any flickerings in the visual realm, just appearing and disappearing. Each time one gets stuck, just opening the hand of the mind, letting it go. Making peace with all things. After some time, we'll find ourselves in some location. Just breathing, noticing how it is, what happens when we bring the body back to the center more, what happens when we bring the quality of metta and kindness, the intention for opening, releasing this pattern. If the attention contracts around something, maybe it's a tenderness that feels too painful, whatever it is, allowing the knowing of it to be known in more space if possible. Seeing if there's perhaps a skillful way of breathing with this. Usually the longer, smoother breath. Eases contraction. If this practice works for you in any way, softening, maybe it feels good, or it feels pleasant, feels beneficial. So just noticing that, allowing that sense to so spread through the body, through the consciousness. Whatever's arising, whatever's passing, whatever's present, seeing if we can meet it well. So it's 18 minutes past 10, so we still have about 12 minutes left for this session. And I wanted to bring it to a close here, just in case it feels that it could be helpful to have any questions about this practice. Maybe it makes a lot of sense, it feels very familiar. It may also not make sense or need some unpacking, something I haven't thought to explain about it, or in some way that it doesn't work. So I just say one general thing and then give the freedom for anyone who just wants to stay in silence and to leave. But this is also something we can bring into our walking practice. Yeah, it's also the possibility for opening, remembering the sky above when we're walking. Different contexts create different experiences, yeah, different reflections, how we feel, or we could say even imagine ourselves to be. Yeah, changes how life unfolds. So we could say there's two main ways of exploring this. One is we could have quite a spread awareness, quite a wide awareness, and noticing the arising and passing of phenomena through the day, in the sitting, in the walking, in the eating. And other times we can really be quite well focused on this area of contraction is occurring, and ways of meeting that with the breath, with the sense of the awareness that it's revealed in, all of those ways that we can ease and work with the contraction. So there's kind of like two ways. One, really staying wide open and just letting things arise and pass until they stick, or really exploring one part of our experience, perhaps the body would be a good focus for us. So there's something stuck in the body somewhere that I can meet in a different way. Yeah. Okay, so let's give a bit of time for those who want to stay in silence, and then I can take a couple of questions or comments about the practice. And there'll also be groups following this if you didn't have a group yesterday, so some will be meeting now and some a little bit later. So if you want to have your question there, that's also fine. Okay, we can begin if there's any question or comment about the practice. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So then the act of meditating of like wanting to be metta and compassionate is getting blurred with a kind of microaggression.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, any thoughts on
what's that? Yeah, great. Shall I repeat the question or did everyone hear it? Yeah, repeat. Yeah, sure. So There's a recognition, acknowledgement that there is tanha happening in the experience. There is some kind of subtle rejection of this, and it kind of expresses itself as I want to stop meditating and go and do something else. Yeah, and yet there's also this kind of love of practice and wanting to be here in the meditation, and it kind of gets set up as it feels kind of like the kindest thing would be just to go and do what the mind is suggesting. And then it feels like a microaggression or a very kind of small kind of punishment of this voice by making it stay and be meditated with. Yeah. So from the perspective of parts of our personality, they really don't want to do meditation. Yeah, so now we're on to me, like I'm kind of speaking, this is my understanding. And because they don't kind of acknowledge for themselves that they get some rewards from this, you know, and we have this capacity in our personality to split off parts of ourselves, to then look at other parts of ourselves and say, you know, what are you doing over here? You know, like, let's go and do something that will be much more enjoyable immediately. And it's kind of a sense that we need all of those voices to be heard. They all have a place. Yeah, all of these types of aspects of ourselves, they have meaningfulness to us. But yet, we also need to kind of adopt a certain view that we're also like the leader of this committee, you know, which makes decisions for the benefit of everyone. And it can be that we'll like postpone, you know, doing that thing. It's like, yeah, if that seems like a really good idea afterwards, we'll do it. Yeah, like whatever it was, just go and lie on the grass. Yeah, okay, I'll lie on the grass at some point today. Whatever that voice is saying. I'm not putting any words in your mouth, but like, and yet right now I'm actually interested. It's like, what will actually happen if I stay with this? Now, the kind of idea that our practice can be like a microaggression also depends on our own personal kind of history around the concepts of discipline, you know, and how they show up. Discipline and dedication really kind of overlap in interesting ways that in our culture, depending on our kind of individual culture, family, and things like this, they get kind of merged. And our dedication to our practice requires a certain degree of discipline, or expresses as that. So it's really important just to check if there's that feeling of welcoming to this voice and acknowledgement of this aspect of personality, which doesn't take away from, you know, the dedication for what we're cultivating and practicing with. But it's from a certain perspective, it could look still like, well, yeah, but you're ignoring me, or you're postponing me, or you're putting me off. And it's like, yeah, but no, you know, like not from the heart. I know it can look that way, but like we just stay true to what does it really feel like? Yeah. Does that kind of make sense? That's probably similar to what you were already feeling, but yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, anything else? Hi, yeah. Hmm. 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 Yeah. So stories, you know, kind of like related to this kind of feeling of anger that can kind of come up in relationships. So there's kind of anger towards a person. There's also the feeling of anger within ourselves. With a practice that is probably associated with quite a strong story, what's kind of helpful primarily is to really just feel how that's revealing itself. So like kind of how we get to know the anger experience is supported in the body in this time. So like it could be a real kind of intensity type of feeling, or it could be a heat, or it can be all of these things. And so it might be the most skillful thing as part of this practice is to kind of meet how the anger is revealing itself in the kind of body form and allowing for that expression. Yeah, because typically, both culturally and also kind of in our body sense, we actually reject the feeling of anger. Yeah, we actually don't. We don't want it. We don't want that thing. So there's this kind of level and layer of that, and that also causes it to stick around for longer. Yeah, because it pushes back against that. So if we get to know how it appears as a phenomena, has a kind of a relatively neutral flavor, we're just interested. Like, how do I know this? in terms of body sensations, pressure, heat, movement, contraction? And then what happens if I then just kind of open around that? What does that actually do with a direct sensation of that feeling? And sometimes it actually means that we come in contact with the underlying emotions. Yeah, so behind anger stories, there can be a hurt, can be a pain, there can be a disappointment. And sometimes that's quite helpful to kind of get in touch with that side. But that'll also have a bodily fabrication, a body shape to it. And we can kind of meet that. And that can then put us in a better place for then working with the more relational qualities of, you know, what can I do about this anger I feel towards a person who's, you know, either hurt me or hurt someone else, or, you know, caused me to feel that in the first place. But it's you know, it's a difficult emotion to work with, definitely. And if this is the first time of kind of exploring this contracted, uncontracted, opening, you know, kind of fading of objects and all this type of practice, it might be easier to work with something smaller to get like a sense of the territory. And then we can then bring the practice into something that's really big and meaningful for us. Yeah. Okay, so it's 10:30 now, so we'll have the groups. So if there's more questions, I hope that they remain alive and you can kind of practice with them and work in that way. And also, obviously also, you know, bring them to the groups or other places like that, the meetings we can have. Okay, thank you, sir. Best wishes for your practice today. Thank you.